What's up? We'll get into the episode shortly. Just really quick announcement. If you've been listening to the show for a while, especially at the end of last year, you might remember at the end of the year for, 3 or 4 weeks, we were able to grab some of our friends, kind of let them take over the show and talk about their favorite records of the year. Had a great time with that. Seems like people enjoyed it, so we want to run it back this year. So if you want to come through, talk about your favorite record of 2022, especially if you haven't been on the show yet, that'd be really cool. We've coordinated with some folks. We already got a couple in the stash, but especially if you've never been on the show, you want to come talk about your favorite record of the year, contact us. If you can get in touch with me or Youngest, DM us on Twitter at Run Back the Hits. Just send me a message, let me know, and we'd love to have you on. Yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. This week we got a really fun review of Smino's Love for Rent, so hope you enjoy.
What you wanna do with it? You just wanna groove with it, wanna act cool with it.
Wanna act cool.
Wanna make a movie in the back of a jacuzzi, make your neighbor wanna zoom in it.
Trip, trip, what?
Acting crazy at the Soho, kissing down below low, made me get a room with it.
Gotta get a room.
I slide on like the moonwalk, then I hit a poom pop, may just get a tune with it.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider, Angelina Jolie, lips too major. Mama must have been hot too, new flavor, sucking on my inner tip, my favorite, gripping on my like it's a lightsaber. Talking when you got it in your mouth, Darth Vader. Baby, you're the weed for the force, cause you faded.
Welcome back. Running Back to Hits. Thank you for being here. Got a good episode in the books for you. Youngs is in the building with me. Yeah.
Yes,
Youngs
sir.
Is in the building with me. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, you know. We're watching some hoops, talking some hip hop. We got a guest with us, a good friend of ours.
Got a guest. I was, you know what's funny? I didn't think we would have a guest, but then I was like, we probably can't do a Smino review without a guest. There's probably a lot of people who would want to tap in on this one. So
well, that's not true because we threw out a blind invite and no one answered.
It was kind of late though. Yeah, people were fucking dubbing us, dude. I was like, wow.
Well, Tees gave you guys a fuck no.
Tees did dub us, man. Shout out to Tees.
He's not gonna hear this. You don't have to shout out shit.
But now it's my goal to get Tees on the show now. So one day I'm gonna get him on here, but we got Cash in the building, returning guest. Cash has been on before, so Cash, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing. How you guys doing? What's up?
We're chilling.
Good to be back.
We're not sure how Cash's audio is gonna sound. So if it sounds horrible,
yeah.
This is your warning from now.
I'm talking through my computer right now.
Yeah, his Turtle Beach headphones didn't work.
Hey, come on.
I think it's good that Cash is here because I kind of want to hear about this artist and this album from a child's perspective. Cash is our resident.
Cash is a full 4 years younger than us.
Yeah, he's our resident. Like, he's one of the youngest people I know. So whenever I want to know how the young people feel about some shit, I'll be like, hey, Cash, what's going on, man? So,
Cash, how was trick-or-treating this weekend, bro? What did you dress up as?
It was cool. It was cool. I only had like a couple people call the police. But other than that, it was fine. Like, it was 50-50. Some candy, some police.
Cash is throwing a fucking Ortiz. He's throwing an Ortiz jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fentanyl.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I was kind of pissed.
No fent.
But maybe next year.
How many 50% off this week, so go get yourself a bag.
If you're listening to this, go get some of
Reese's fast break.
Yeah, I'm definitely going tomorrow. But yeah, man, we got Cash here, and we're talking about this new Smino record, man. Been out since Friday at this point. It's Tuesday when we're doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's been a couple of days. We've had it for a little bit. I've heard it like dozens of times. So I think Cash has heard it a good amount of time. Youngest, you've heard it a couple of times. So we've had some time to sit with it. Love for Rent is the name of the album.
I kind of crammed a little bit.
Yeah.
I did listen to it the first day and maybe went back to a few songs like throughout the weekend, but full listens. I did like two or three today because I was
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I figured
because we talked about Noir, which is the last one, and I don't, you didn't hear Noir until we did the episode about it, right? So that was,
yeah. Which is funny because I liked Smino, or I shouldn't say I like Smino the same amount, but mm-hmm. I was listening to more Smino around the time Noir dropped than I'm listening to Smino now.
Right. So, yeah, so I was, yeah, you got a couple listens in, which is good. One of the reasons why Cash is here, because Cash was like, yo, this thing has like album of the year potential. I heard him saying that. So he was on the short list of people that I kind of wanted to come talk about this thing with. But before we get into Love for Rent, like what was the expectation level like? I talked about it in the mid-year and the beginning. Like when it comes out for me, it's probably gonna be album of the year contender. It's been announced for a while, so like, Youngest, were you anticipating this? What do you think was gonna come from this album?
I mean, yeah, I guess we should start with me, because I wasn't really like expecting too much, not in a good or a bad way. Just Smino's a guy I listen to, and when he drops, I'll give it a spin. I really like 90 Proof, the single. I know that's a little bit of a contentious topic.
We'll get to 90 Proof. For
yeah, sure. It's pretty divisive. I was on the, this is actually pretty good. And the thing about Smino, as always, me and Lee kind of went into depth about this when we talked about Noir, like, there's not really anyone else in rap that kind of does what he does. I was trying to think of like descriptive words. I talked to someone this weekend, actually, who, funny enough, not in the court, but knows I do this show. And he was asking me, he's like, oh, are you guys going to like review the new Smino? And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah. I was like, what, you listen to Smino? He's like, no, I have no idea who the fuck that is. I just see people talking about it, so I just assumed you'd talk about it. And I was like, yeah, he's pretty good. And he's like, yeah, so like, what kind of music does he make? And I just was stumped. I was like, bro, right. I really, like, it's just one of a kind. Like, he has his own sound and does his own thing. But Cash, how about you? What were your expectations coming into this?
I was kind of in the same boat as Lee. I knew just like right from when it was announced, I was like, all right, if this isn't one of my like five or six favorite albums from the year, I'll probably be a little disappointed. Because I've only been listening to Smino for probably like a year. Like, I didn't really know much about him before that. So I'm still kind of like new to it, but I'm a big fan. So I was like, all right, I need this to be one of my favorites. And I think it is off the first like seven or eight listens I did of it.
Yeah, so, I'm good.
I guess I'm asking the two of you, what differences did you see kind of like stylistically, if there were any differences, or like what kind of growths did you see? I mean, this, I'm not going to say it sounded like same old Smino, like he definitely changed some things and switched some things up, but I want to see from like two bigger fans, I guess, what that approach sounds like.
Cash, you can go first. You can go first here.
The thing I noticed, like, even right from first listen, like the vocals are just so like they're, that's always kind of like the thing with Smino, is like, okay, like these vocals are going to be number one, like you said, Youngest, like different. It's going to be very different. It's going to be very unique, but it just sounds like, it sounds amazing on this. And it always has, but like, there's just something about the way his vocals sound on this that it's like, it's just different. I don't know. It sounded different, sounded better.
So I'll say one thing I love about Smino. One thing I think he does really well is I think he's a really great world builder. I think him and Monte, shout out to Monte Booker, of course. I think him and Monte are just amazing. Anytime they've locked in on a project, all three at this point, they're just amazing world builders of crafting this unique experience. You know, we talked about it with Freddie Gibbs, where it's just like an album versus individual songs. Smino's always been really good at that, in my opinion. And I think I'll get this out of the way. This isn't my favorite Smino album, but I think it's the most well-crafted as an album. Like, the thing flows great. The overarching kind of theme of Love for Rent, when he talked about kind of the different types of love that he gives out and how he has no love left for himself. I think he did a great job of crafting like an experience with this one. And I like the way he broaches this subject. We'll talk about it more when we get into more songs, but that was the thing. And I think his pen, like, also got a little bit better. you know, it's not, we've talked about it before. It's not necessarily about the pen with Smino. Sometimes it's more about the melodies and the flows. One thing I love since him and JID are on tour, I love the way they like approach flow. JID obviously super different, but I love the way that they approach flow. And I think his flows are great on this.
This thought quickly passed through my mind in like a hyperbolic way. And it's going to sound blasphemous, but like very Outkast-esque in the sense of white noise that has strong songwriting. I cape for rappers a lot on here and their ability to write music, but traditional rap doesn't really focus on that as much as something like rock and roll did, especially early on in the 70s, where they're trying to make a sound and the lyrics kind of fade in and out.
Yeah.
And rappers are more like cutting with it and more bold with their word choice and what they say. And they're not trying to like they're creating metaphors, but they're not trying to do like I Am a Walrus by the Beatles or whatever.
Right.
And there are a few rappers that have successfully done that. Outkast, Smino, a few others that might be escaping me a little bit, but it's the idea of trying to build like music that you can listen to as background music. And if you want to dig deeper into it, you always can.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned Cast. Defibrillator is a track that immediately comes to mind, just instantly made me think of The Love Below, like immediately. Three Sacks is someone who he's always talked about as an influence, and I think you've been able to see that, you know, throughout the projects and the EPs. That is definitely there. I wanted to go like a little bit deeper on anticipation and like how fucking much I was anticipating this thing. Like, Smino drops a mixtape a couple years ago. She Already Decided, like, drop singles after that. I Deserve It, or I Deserve last year. It was in my top 10 songs of the year. Didn't even make the album. There were a couple singles that didn't make the album. Like, I was, the buildup for this was something serious.
Yeah. Outside of 90 Proof, nothing else was out. Is there
anything? Matinee was a single. Matinee came after.
Yeah.
But like Trina didn't make it on here.
Right. MLK Drive.
Yeah, the one with Mick didn't make it on here. I don't know if that was before or after Noir. He went on a little bit of a single run and kind of threw those off to the side.
Yeah. So Love for Rent finally comes. And I guess I want to ask about like first impressions when you first heard the record. Cash, I'll start with you. Like, first listen, you already said it kind of lived up for you, but what were some things that like maybe surprised you, just jumped out with how much you enjoyed it or anything like that on the first listen, I'd say?
First listen, I was just like excited that it finally came out. You guys have kind of like, you like, we've I've gotten made fun of it before. Like, first listen, I think everything's great. Like, I think I think it's great or terrible. So, I mean, first listen, I was like, this is just exactly what I wanted. Like, it lived up to it. I'm just looking at the track list. I don't think there's a song I didn't keep. Like, I kept the whole thing. I was like, this is great. And then after that couple listens, I was like, all right, I'm still going to keep everything. Like, this is exactly what I was hoping for it from first listen on. So,
yeah. Youngest, I got to ask you about your first listen, because I remember you saying that you had heard it. I didn't hear you like talk about any songs. Like, I don't know if anything really stood out for you, but like first listen thoughts for you, did anything pop out or no?
I mean, like, sounds kind of popped out to me. I think like Pudgy, when I heard Uzi, I wasn't really like looking at my phone or knowing what the track was, I was just listening. You know, old school, just letting it play 15 songs straight and then it stopped playing. And I was like, oh, I guess that's the end of the album.
Yeah.
I think I was doing something like where my phone wasn't near me and it was just my AirPods. But that's like, you pointed out earlier that we talk about like collection of songs compared to like making an album and having a level of, like having a theme and having songs that flow together super well. And that's evident in this, because again, like, songs didn't really stand out to me. It all sounded like one giant 50-minute song. Sure. And I liked it. I didn't really know what to go back to or like what moments really stood out to me. And that was something I had to sort through today. That was, I said that to you. Like, no, I heard it. I've heard it a few times. It's just going to take me a little bit to like connect certain songs to where they are. And the skits don't help either because there were a lot of those.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I really relate to that. You know, we talked about Smino a lot on here. My Smino experience, I first heard him from like my college roommate, and he was just all over Smino. And he was trying to play it to me like, yo, this is your shit. This is right up your alley. I'm telling you, this is going to be some shit you love. And it just did not hit for me at first. Like Black Swan, which is my favorite Smino project, that shit did not hit for me. I was like, I don't really see it with this. I think it was even with Noir, when I first heard Noir, it kind of took me a while. Like Smino has always been like a slow burn kind of artist for me. Mm-hmm. And this album was like that too. Like I heard it the first time and I was like, okay, this is like, this is cool. I had album of the year expectations. So I was like, this maybe isn't living up to this immediately. But then a couple things happened. One, I heard people just being like, this album is crazy. This is one of the best albums I heard this year. Even people who were kind of outside of the normal Smino sphere, people were being like, no, this is super great and awesome. And I was like, okay, Smino's a slow burn artist for me anyways. Let me like get some time with it. Reading the lyrics is a thing that I always do after like a couple days. Reading the lyrics really kind of made me like the project more, kind of just like understanding the themes more. And like, he's not saying like a ton of super, you know, it's not like,
yeah, I mean, he says some stuff.
Yeah, I think, well, it's not like a, I was trying to say, it's not like lyrical miracle shit, of course, but I do like a lot of the things he's saying, like a lot of the themes he's covering. I think he did a really good job of like the concept, like I was saying earlier, the whole love for rent thing, him talking about kind of dealing with giving himself out too much to other people and not having anything left for himself and dealing with like how that can hurt people in the end. Like when you don't have anything to give and you're trying to give it to other people, you're going to fuck people over in the end. There was even that interlude where the girl was like, I've been like waiting on you for an hour and all that shit. Like that concept, I think he really hit home throughout the album. I think he did it really well. Like I said, I think his pen leveled up, and with listens, yeah, I'm digging this thing a lot, man. I'm digging it a lot.
He's one of the only. I'll let you go.
No, you keep going, Cash.
I was just gonna say, I think Smino is one of the only artists that I like enough to let get away with saying I'm a wrestler, broccoli lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a couple. Like, he had a couple lines like that. He always does, but like, where it's like, all right, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, and the thing you mentioned with Smino of him not being like lyrical miracle, I guess, he does do the barsy thing a little bit. You know, he hits pockets where he's rapping really fast, and that comes with kind of the people he works with. We know he's going on tour with like JID, but How did we feel about like the features he picked this time around? Because there were a lot on here I was not expecting whatsoever. There's some like normal ones, you know.
Yeah.
Felix, I know he's worked with, and like No Name and that kind of crew.
Yeah.
Worked with that. But like Lucky Day or Uzi, that those were two names I was not expecting.
Yeah. Speaking of No Name, I know she was sick when she heard fucking Blue Billy for the first time. He was talking about some damn capitalistic. I knew No Name was sick. But I enjoy the features on here a pretty good deal. It is a mixed bag of like Uzi, he's never worked before. Cruza, I think they're like a band from what I've found, and like I don't think he's never worked with them before. Corey Henry, but you do get you get new voices as well. Uzi, Lucky Day, which Smino and Lucky Day is a combo that I've never like thought about asking for because I don't know, but I think there is so much overlap in like their fan bases, the type of music they make, the type of shit they talk. Like, I think there's a ton of overlap, and they worked out, like, super well. Him and Cole have done some great shit. Sacrifices, there's another track too. But 90 Proof like is up there with them. I agree with you about 90 Proof. I think 90 Proof is a really great song. I think it sounds even better within the context of the album, and I liked it as a single. Yeah. I think it's like it gives you prototypical Smino. Like he's playing with his voice, kind of like doing weird shit with it. But it sounds so refined. Like it sounds so, so good and thought out. And I love Cole on there too. Like I didn't the thing that set me back about the track at first was actually J. Cole. I didn't love Cole on there. But with more listens, I actually fuck with what Cole is doing. So Doji. Well,
yeah, I mean Cole on there for sure stood out to me right away. Typical, but like he hit like three different flows when he was doing it, and he was like keeping up with Smino. It felt like he was joining on to whatever Smino was trying to make instead of just giving him a verse.
Yeah, and I will say it makes me kind of excited for Cole's next album, because apparently this was supposed to be on Cole's next album. Mm-hmm. to be on Cole's next album, and Smino was like, "Hey, can I actually get that song back?" And Cole apparently said yes. So it makes me kind of interested. Man. Yeah, it makes me kind of interested for whatever Cole's doing next that this would fit in on his album. Doechii with maybe the fucking verse of the year, like.
She's good.
Insane verse.
She needs to get free from Top Dog already.
Yeah, and like, so I love this Doechii verse, and I love it within the song. Obviously, the song is called Pro Freak. You kind of get like this fun element. This goes back to like that world crafting thing I was talking about. Like, we're on a song called Pro Freak. You know what I mean? We're talking that shit. I'm not really trying to hear from like a man on that song, respectfully. So like Smino kind of doesn't do a ton. He kind of just sets the stage. And then Doechii just comes in and fucking tears it up. Shout out to Doechii.
We got the most manly man on there. Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, Fat Man Scoop. Yeah. Another like interesting collab. And I was like, now Smino's on a major now. He's signed to Motown, which he wasn't before. That's one of the perks of being on a major label. You can be like, hey, can we somehow make a Fat Man Scoop song happen? So like that was super cool.
No, yeah. I mean Fat Man Scoop was on like a Brockhampton song like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
like,
Fat Man Scoop is
around a little bit every once in a while if you want him.
He was on a what? A who?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite Brockhampton songs, actually. It might be my favorite one, but
yeah. No comment. Produced
by Childish Major, who's like
shout out to Childish Major, man.
Yeah.
Who's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. He's very much like within that realm with Smino and Monte Booker. So him being able to hop in and, you know, like he's an artist within his own right who makes his own music where he sings and raps and does that sort of thing. So for him to just like take a backseat and just give Smino some beats is super cool.
Yeah. I think Major actually had a couple beats on here, and which says something also, because I think he's kind of stated, I'm not in that place in my career where I want to just like do beats. I want to do my own music. So the fact that he gives me, you know, a couple beats, I thought was really, really great. I would have loved to see him like appear on a song, because I think their fucking sounds go great together. But yeah, I think we talked about all the main features except for Lil Uzi. Lil Uzi Vert on Pudgy. I was so
here you go. This is your time to shine.
This is your time. talk about Pudgy real quick. All
right, so it was not what I was expecting at all. Especially from like a Uzi featured song, but it was, I mean, I've never heard Uzi sound like that before. That was incredible. Like that was like, I almost kind of had to like pause the song and be like, am I listening to the wrong one? Like, is that Lil Uzi? Like, is that actually, like, it sounds great. Like I've never heard him sound like that before. So that was awesome. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah. Shout out to Uzi who, in the past like 2 years has hopped on a Smino song and an Isaiah Rashad song. Me and him might just have like the exact same playlist low-key. But yeah, I love him on Pudgy. Like shout out to Smino for even making that happen. I guess they were working out of the same studio. He just ran into Uzi and Uzi heard, and I think Smino might have played him the song because he says the little Uzi vertebrae line. He played it for Uzi. Uzi was like, yo, that's great, let me get on it. Uzi apparently got on it the same day, did the verse. Which is it's so crazy because that the beat actually seems like it's kind of crafted for Uzi. It sounds like to
another
me it's
Childish
like
some, Major beat.
Yeah, shout out to Major. It sounds like some shit Uzi would fit great on. So it was like that was just a really dope coincidence. So shout out to Uzi. Another great feature. So many good, pretty much all the features did their damn thing. We didn't talk about Raven. I got to talk about Raven because anytime Raven does anything, I got to talk about it.
Yeah, that was not a surprising feature to me. Of course, I mean, I know that they haven't really worked together, but that was like a name I kind of expected to see pop up on.
Yeah, there. Raven and Smino and Monty is just like the three-headed snake. Anytime they're involved on something, you know it's going to be dope. Smino was on Raven's album this year. One of the best albums of the year, if not the best album of the year. If you haven't heard it, check it out. And their chemistry is just so amazing. Like, there aren't many, to be honest, in like hip hop and R&B pairings general, there aren't many more pairings that I like more than Smino and Raven. I think Monte did the beat on this one. He also does
yes,
some,
he did.
Yeah, he does some vocals on there too. Like, they're just a great
beat pair. On like most.
Yeah, yeah. He does.
Yeah, it's either Mate or Childish Major. I don't know if there are too many without either of those.
I think Felix might have got one or two, but
Groove did Defibrillator.
Yeah. But yeah, shout out to Raven, bro. I was listening to this album for the first time, and I was like you, I wasn't checking the tracks. And I was like, yo, where the fuck is Raven? Like, Smino was just on Raven's album. Like, Raven should be on here somewhere. And Raven came on, and I legit let out the biggest, like, fangirl, like, yelp in my life. I was like, oh my god, Raven's here, and she sounds fucking killer. This is maybe my favorite song on the whole project. It's so fun, and it's so great. Shout out to Corey Henry as well on the track.
Yeah, Corey Henry has some production credits along with Monty on some stuff. He just seemed like he was involved all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you said your favorite track. Let's dig into some of our favorites. Some shit we really liked.
Yeah.
Right out the gate, Noel's with the knock knock beat and sample really worked out. I mean, we've heard it kind of come back into the zeitgeist with Tyler the Creator and A$AP Rocky rapping over that beat, and other rappers kind of giving their shine on old Monica stuff. So. Yeah. Hearing a different twist to it instead of just the same beat sounded really nice. Shout out to Cal Banks for that one. Big fan of Pro Freak, obviously. That's probably the most fun song on here to me. But my favorite one was Mode in a Minute with Lucky Day and Felix. That one is a good like combination of the slow stuff Smino can do for you, but also got a little bit of rap into it. I guess shout out Lucky Day. His verse pretty good too.
Shout out to Lucky Day, man. Having a good year.
Yeah.
Felix, though, big fan of him. The few times I've heard him hop on other people's stuff, he's got that kind of feel to him that like you see his name and you know the type of music you're gonna get from it.
Yeah. Cash, man. Talk to me. Give me some standouts.
I'm trying to decide. Mode in a Minute, that one's probably that. I'll give you three because that one, Luphoria is a great song. I love that. He's singing his ass off on that one.
Yeah,
sounds great. And I'll go with a different one. Old Ass Kendrick. I love that song. I've been playing that.
I expected that to be a skit, I love that. To be honest with you. When I played it and it was a full song.
I did too. I did too. And I love that song.
Oh, that's Kendrick is fucking hilarious because it's just about him kind of like getting with this old flame and like making out and fucking in the car while old Kendrick is playing. And I just imagine like trying to kick game to a girl while fucking like To Pimp a Butterfly is playing.
I'm just, art of peer pressure.
Yeah, like
I remember he was conflicted.
Yeah, Smino, shout out to Smino. His cool level has got to be different because that's not some shit that I can pull off.
Oh man, he flirted with the gas station worker on the phone, bro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny. Yeah.
I like you bringing up Luphoria as well. It's funny that you're kind of like a newer Smino fan. That's like quintessential Smino. From the beat to his flows, like everything about that is just like prototypical Smino track. I really love the guest verse on it though, because the whole, you know, perspective of Smino this project is kind of like, oh my god, I'm giving all this shit out and it's kind of starting to fuck up everything around me. But the guest verse is kind of taking the inverse of like someone who was just like craving for like the love of somebody else. And like, I love that perspective. So yeah, that's a dope track too. Love the guest verse on that. Yeah. Three dope ones.
You want to point out, Lee?
I mean, it's tough to pick like really one in particular. We've talked about pretty much the ones that I really, really love. Matt, I will say, because Matinee was a single, Matinee growed on me a lot in the context of the album. Well, Matinee was actually the song that kind of worried me a little bit. I like 90 Proof a lot, but Matinee came and I was kind of just like, man, this kind of just seems super stagnant from Smino. It seems like some shit that could have been on Noir or could have been on Black Swan. But I heard an album and I liked it a lot more.
I don't want to say it sounds like half finished, but the fact he kind of just has that long ass outro kind of makes you feel like he wasn't sure really how to like finish the song or wrap it up or like do anything he needed to get it to 3 minutes so that way he could release it as a single type thing. Like, yeah.
So Matinee is an interesting. It grew on me like kind of more recently within the past like day or so, but at first I was kind of just like, eh, there's not a lot going on here, but I like it more within the context of the album. I talked about Settle Down. That really might be my favorite track on there. Pudgy, we talked about. Defibrillator's dope too. Like I said, it kind of has like, to me, it really gives me like a Love Below feel. And that one's dope. I think that's pretty much it. We've talked about damn near every song at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too long. It's only 15 tracks, you know?
Yeah. The first one's kind of like intro. Were there any tracks you were like, yeah, this is just fucking horrible?
Horrible, no, but I did kind of fall asleep during Garden Lady a few times. Like I would listen to it and just kind of skip it halfway through because it's a little long. There's like long skits in there. It's a lot. I'm not really sure if it's one I'm gonna revisit too often, but it works within the album.
Yeah. Garden Lady is a tough one. I think it's one of his more probably introspective songs to date. That was one that I actually liked a lot more once I read the lyrics, because like you, when I was just listening to it, I was like, damn, this shit is kind of boring. But I actually like the writing on that.
Hold on. I might have mixed up Garden Love and Curtains. Curtains is the one where he lets his little nephew sing, right?
Yeah.
I mixed that up. But yeah, continue your sentiments about Garden Lady.
Yeah, Garden Lady. At first I heard it and I was like, it was the only song where I kind of just was kind of off about. But once I actually like read the lyrics, I was like, damn, this shit is actually like pretty good. And it fits with what he's talking about. I think the penmanship on that is dope, which is something that I've always been pushing for Smee. Like he kind of was doing like, he was leaning too much into like the word flip cool guy shit to me. And I was like, I want to see your pen. I want to like see what's going on in your like mind and your heart more. I think he did that well on Garden Lady, but it's a grower for sure. Cash, what about you, man? Any songs that just like didn't really grab you? Or you?
I mean, not really. I enjoyed pretty much every song. If I had to pick one, probably also Curtains. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was bad. Just it was kind of whatever. I'm a huge fan of the outro, which we didn't mention. Lee and Lovey.
Yeah.
Great outro. But yeah, just really Curtains. It was like not a bad song. A fine song.
It's 6 minutes.
Didn't really love it. It's the longest
song on
there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't mention it. It's also one of my favorites. Probably why I didn't pick it immediately is because it's kind of long. But yeah, I actually like that track a lot.
Curtains. Yeah. Also, naming your second to last song Curtains is just bad fucking sequencing, dude. Just put it at the end. Just flip them.
Well, that actually, that did make me kind of intrigued. I was like, because, yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, why is that not the outro? But it makes me kind of look at Lee and Lovey in a different way. Almost like more of a, not quite a bonus track, but I don't know. Like, I do think it is a part of the album, but I kind of look at it separate from the rest of the stuff.
Or do you think we're going to get a deluxe since we're here
talking? You know, about what he said that he had a line where it's like, y'all need to be focused by my unreleased shit. he's talked about how he made three different versions of this album and he's ready to drop another one at any point. Artists say that shit all the time, so obviously take that shit with a grain of salt. But I don't know. I think we had to wait for this one. We kind of like people who are really anticipating this. I think we had to wait a little bit longer for it because obviously he signed to Motown. Sometimes signing to a major, it can take a little bit for your album to get, you know, filtered through everything. Obviously COVID hit. Like, I think we had to wait a little bit longer for this than he wanted.
So yeah, I mean, we talked about this recently when we discussed Gibbs and this being his major label debut and how he kind of waited 2 years in between his albums. And that's not something Freddie Gibbs does, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Gibbs is a dude that releases maybe two times a year.
Yeah. It can just take time. Like, you go from operating in kind of your own system to operating in this much, much larger ecosystem. So it can just take time. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, yo, let me come right back for y'all, like, around this time next year. Like, I wouldn't be completely surprised. Wouldn't be surprised if he had some more. There better be an extended version of Pudgy. That's, like, the main thing that I need. I need, like, a fucking extended I need an extended version of that. But, I don't know. I mean, he's about to go on tour. If you got tickets, salute. If not,
if you had $900,
cash you didn't get tickets, right? So,
nah, I'm sick of it. I'm done with concerts. I'm out.
I'm sorry,
man. Steve Lacy ruined concerts. Man. He ruined it.
I'm sorry for everybody who didn't get tickets. But I'm gonna be at a show. I'm excited for him and JID. Like, I think there's a lot of synergy and overlap between his fan bases, more so than like it, they get credit for. Some people seem like it's going to be super different, but no, there's a lot of
overlap. I think there's a ton of overlap.
Yeah, there's so much overlap there. I'm excited for the tour and the show and everything. So, yeah, man.
As we were talking, I was just looking up like the tour because I wanted to see how much tickets are running for now.
Yeah, real quick,
Milwaukee prices, sick of it.
They're not coming to Milwaukee.
Oh, they're not?
No, they're going to Chicago and they're going to Madison. But
real quick, I'll say, I mean, I think I know Youngs has heard all three. I've heard all three. Kes, I think you've heard all three of Smito's like major projects.
Yeah.
Black Swan Noir, Love for Rent. Where do you think Love for Rent stands amongst those three? I know it's kind of early, so, but if you had to put it into place now, what would you say?
Right now I would probably have second behind Black Swan. I don't think Black Swan is like, not even in a negative way. Like, I don't think it's, I mean, obviously it's like passable, like he can make something, but I just don't, I love that album so much. I would have it right below this. They're all three of them are great. But yeah, that's where I feel with it right now.
I'm interested in your three youngs. I have no idea what they would be.
Yeah, just a quick update. Chicago is $60.
Oh my God. Bro, come on.
Shout out to everybody who got the ticket.
Yeah, I might just I just might go to Chicago for that on a Tuesday. So Black Swan's always going to be one for me because, like I mentioned, I was listening to – I think I listened to Black Swan, like, the first weekend it came out. I was pretty early on Smino. And I was really playing it a lot, and he was, like, one of those dudes, you know, you have conversations about, like, oh, who's someone, like, someone might not have heard of. You know, he was an easy give to people. Like, yeah, you should check out Smino. You might not have heard of this guy. He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I spun that album a lot and I was really into it. So it's hard for me to like take the other two over it. Outside of that though, Noir and Love for Rent are pretty similar to me. They're just good albums. Noir, I think, might have more individual songs I play or like that I'm going to play. Like I returned to Tequila Mockingbird a lot and Hoopty and Clink and some of those, and I'm not sure I'm seeing a whole lot of that on Love for Rent, but I think I would be more willing to play Love for Rent as a full album. So take that as you will. Right. What's better, I'm not sure.
This is a tough three for me, man. Like, I will say just Black Jupiter, his debut EP, I love that shit, but I think it's a clear four. And the three albums are tough, man. Black Swan, I think especially among Smino fans, Black Swan is kind of some shit that might never be touched. I love Black Swan, but I really, really love Noir. Like, if I'm picking individual songs, there's a lot of shit I go back to on Noir. I think Black Swan might have higher highs. And Love for Rent is just the one that I can really play start to finish. So it's kind of tough. It depends on what day, but I got to give my top three because I asked y'all. So I'm actually going to go Noir 1. I'm going to go Black Swan 2, and I'm going to go Love for Rent 3. But a really tough three. Smino is really one of my favorite artists doing it right now.
He's very consistent.
Yeah, I think he's really, yeah, he doesn't really just put out shit, kind of takes his time, is pretty much.
He takes his time, but he also, you know, he's crafted a sound for himself. He doesn't really divert from that sound. People have not said it about Smino yet, but people tend to say that as a negative thing for a lot of people.
That's a good fucking point, by the way. Like, he has kind of dodged the,
He's not famous enough for people to say that stupid shit yet. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that complaint for anyone, because making music's hard, and crafting your own sound that's different than everyone else is hard. So, but he does. You kind of know what you're gonna get. That was a little bit of my confusion when 90 Proof came out, and there were some people that were a little bit like hesitant on it. And I was like, this just sounds like Smino to me. Like, I wasn't really sure. Like, he's doing like the weird voice thing, and he's switching up flows, and the beat sounds like something that fits with him, you know?
Yeah.
And he drags out, he's got the auto tune, and goes into the rapping fast. Like, that's kind of the Smino staples. He's one of those people that if someone, you know, those, I was thinking about this, you know, those dumbass videos people used to make where they were like, let me show you how to make a Travis Scott song in 90 seconds.
salute to that one guy who like his whole shtick, and people just killed him online.
Yeah. He's like, first you take the drums and you want an 808. Yeah. He just like recreates songs. And it's a little fucking insulting because the people that make these like didn't like have a reference point. They usually just made the music, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like you could do that with Smino pretty easily if you wanted to be an asshole. Right.
Salute to him, man, and salute to Monte too, because Monte is a really, really big part of that. Him and Monte, like, I just love their connection. Like, I think they take this shit really seriously. Monte is legit he's one of the best producers working right
now. Behind every great rapper is a great producer, you know.
Exactly. So shout out to Monte. That's what
they say to me all the time.
Yeah.
That's my favorite saying.
Yeah.
that's my favorite saying.
Yeah. Salute to me, salute to Monte for like taking this shit really seriously and just continuing to, in my opinion, kind of level up and improve on the sound. Man. Shout out to Smee. Like I said, I was surprised by the reception to this. I think a lot of people who were kind of outside of the Smino universe were really kind of tapped in and were like, oh, this is amazing.
I think that anticipation albums you were talking about really helped with that, because you know Smino fans, they're not, I don't know how to say this without it sounding like a diss, like he's not that big yet. He's still
100%. And
he released this album and he was third on like the new music thing behind Money Man and Kodak Black. Like he's not taking over banners on Spotify and Apple Music yet.
Yeah.
But the small majority that are his fans are very dedicated and they talk about him a lot. So this was a good time for people after 2 years of hearing about this Smino shit to finally tap in. And he gave them something that's worth listening to for sure.
Yeah, it is something that I think a lot of his fans can take for granted, because for some reason, Smino fans just really migrate in the same place. Like, I was surprised in the Discord chat that we all three share. I was surprised like how many Smino fans are there, because it's like, I mean, it's kind of random. Yeah, like we're there for like, well, Tyler's been on the show, so people know this. Like we were there like for Tyler IM. Like Smino's not super like a connecting factor there, but it was interesting how many Smino fans were in there.
I really don't know if he's ever heard of him. Or
exactly. I don't. Yeah. Like he's never. Yeah, exactly. Like he doesn't strike me as a, I really love Smino type of guy. So it was interesting to see how many Smino fans were in that space. And kind of Smino fans always kind of commingling amongst each other. Yeah.
They flock their way through not having any women to talk to.
That's crazy. Come on. Joe's going to hear this. You know that,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Joe is going to hear that.
No, I'm playing. Actually, one of the first Smino fans I talked to was another girl. So that's he's not on JID's level. He's a little.
Yo, come on. What are you
100%.
Come on.
So, yeah, man, we talked about the project. I mean, just real quick to end it. Cash, I know you're a fan, so I'll ask both of you. Like, what do you want from Smino? He's about to go on this tour, obviously. Like, he's hinted that there might be some more shit dropping. I kind of assume he'll do a more traditional thing, go on the tour, make the music after. Like, what do you want from Smino after this, you know?
I guess the best way to look at it is, like, what are his options? And less of, like, what do I want? So some of the options you can think of is, like, do we want him to do another major label album where he works with several producers like we just saw with Gibbs, and he steps away from the Childish Majors and the Monty Bookers? Is that something that interests you? I'm not sure it's something that interests me, but like, what's your opinion on that? Both of you, I guess.
Like Youngest kind of said it earlier. It's like I don't want it to go like a different direction. Like he has the sound, he has like the idea. Like I just want more of this. Like I don't need an album where it's like he's doing something completely different or he's using major label producers, like stepping away from what works. Like
you don't want
you have the sound. Like, no, no, I don't. if I hear a Tay Keith producer tag for a Smino song, I'm turning it off.
So what I'll say about that real quick is, and it's funny because we talked about this with Gibbs, Smino has really kind of done this whole thing very much on his own terms. He's from St. Louis, of course. I don't know how we didn't mention that. He's from St. Louis, but he kind of came up in that group of Chicago artists with Raven and Mick Jenkins and even, you know, kind of Chance and Vic a little bit, kind of just like in that era.
And Saba and No Name. Saba,
yeah, and No Name, yeah.
You know what I want next from Smino? I want fucking that.
You want Ghetto Sage? Me too, man, shit. But yeah, like he's really done things on his own terms. He's stayed kind of within that core for the most part. He hasn't really diverted and tried to do a big pop thing outside of like Revenge of the Dreamers, where he was able to link up with JID and shit like that. He's really kind of just been on his own shit. So I mean, if he wants to remain in that ecosystem, I think he can have a decent amount of success. I saw him mention somewhere, he did an interview with Bootleg Kev and he was like, do you think you're underrated? And he was like, no, I just fucking sold out like a nationwide tour. Me and JID, we just sold out a tour. Like, I don't feel underrated at all. So he might be happy where he's at. And if he really is, then I don't mind him just continuing on this path. Like, I think he showed some growth and maturity on this record. I would love to see where he stands a couple more years from now, if he wants to stay in his ecosystem. If he is like, shit, let me try to, I got the Uzi feature, like, I've shown I can kind of do it on this different level. Let me see if I can really level shit up. I wouldn't be mad if he wanted to do that, because I think he's so talented. I think his music is palatable for like a mainstream audience. Like we said, his whole shit isn't like fucking lyrical miracle deep complex shit. It's like really cool word flips and like cool beats and shit like that. It's stuff that's super palatable for a mainstream audience, in my opinion.
So you kind of took away my second option of where he could go, and you kind of talked about it. It's kind of going in the mainstream, and I mean, I'm gonna say a name here and I don't want to get mad over, but like, next step is like doing DJ Khaled albums and showing up on Moneybagg Yo albums and like working with Lil Baby and like those bigger names. And it's kind of, that would be the next progression for someone that's in his career and his spot. And is that something that we want to hear? Like, I would be cool if he did a little feature run after this to kind of promote his album. He clearly didn't really, I mean, he did it within his own spaces when it came to promoting this one. You mentioned he was on Raven's album and he was on Isaiah Rashad's, and like, that's kind of the audience and crew he's in, but he's going to need to go to bigger names and different type of music if he wants to reach that next superstar level. And we're not sure he really wants to do that.
I think it'd be a tough sell to a lot of his fans. But even it's something that it's funny it would bring up JID. It's something that JID is going through. Like, he did that track with Imagine Dragons. I feel like a lot of JID fans never heard that shit. It was a big fucking song, though. One of the biggest songs, like, in the world. So, mm-hmm. JID, like, there's a lot of artists in that space dealing with that.
Like, yeah. And I mean, what do I want to do? Major label does not help. They want to recoup their money on their investment.
Yeah.
That those phone calls are going to start happening.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the other option of him, like, trying a new sound, I guess. That would be another progression that sometimes artists make. Completely switching things up. Maybe he goes a little more rap. Maybe he goes more usually leads to, like, more melodic music. But,
yeah. That is kind of interesting. Yeah, Cash, like, let's say Ismino album comes out next year. And he's just rapping hard over soul samples and some shit like that. What would your reaction be? Like, as a fan of his?
He calls Alchemist up. Gives us six Alchemists.
If he just completely does an audible and does some other shit.
I mean, if you, like, now I'm just thinking of Alchemist and Smino. That's hilarious. Smino featuring Boldy James. I'm there.
West Side Gun A&R-ing the new Smino album.
Yeah, I'm there. But no, like, he's at a point where it's like, whatever direction it ends up going, like, one, I'll be listening, and two, I'll probably enjoy it. Like, I don't really see a path where it's like, oh, he started doing this and I don't really want to hear it anymore. Like, I feel like either way, like, if he did go like a more, like, if he did rap more, like, I think he's talented enough at each of those where if he picks one or the other, like, he can do that. He can succeed in that. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, it's not the same. Like,
yeah,
I feel like he'd succeed either way. So
here's a third option here you forgot about. What if he goes the Vic Mensa route? What then?
Okay, man. All right.
What exactly is the Vic Mensa
route? What do you make terrible music for a little bit?
Oh, no, don't do that.
19-year-old ass nigga. No, I mean, I think whatever Smee does, I mean, I as someone who's been around for a little bit now, I'm tapped in, I'm ready for it. Like, his talent is immense to me. Like, again, his music is, to me, is super palatable for a mainstream audience. So I think, you know, if he can figure out a way to just, like, get one song that pops, like, I think he could maybe figure that out. So whatever he wants to do next, I'm excited, man. I'm gonna hit this tour. I'm gonna keep playing the hell out of this album and whatever comes.
I might hit this tour out of
just to make cash. I bet you guys will.
Just to flex.
I bet you guys will.
But yeah, man, I think that's pretty much all we got on Love for Rent. Cash, thanks for coming through. We always ask the guest, what's some shit you've been playing lately? Like, music wise, what's some shit you've been rocking with? New stuff, old stuff, just talk to us.
A little bit of everything. I'm surprised you guys didn't ask for a Babytron review about the album on Friday, but I've been listening to that a lot. Shout out to Babytron. I spent the whole day listening to Migos, Rest in Peace to Take Off, of course. That broke my heart this morning. That was really sad. So I've been listening to that pretty much all day, just probably all week. That's probably what I'll do, is just listen to that.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done a general Migos episode to this point. We probably should at some point. I think we can figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah, it seems a little opportunistic right now, so it might hold off on that a little, but Migos is something that interests the both of us to talk about.
Yeah, this should definitely, like, hit home. Again, we talked about Migos on the show before. Migos is one of the first, maybe literally the first group that I was kind of early on. Like, I had a friend in high school who was playing Migos before Versace. Literally, like, the whitest, nerdiest kid ever. Salute to my homie. But
they had a giant reach. Oh.
Yeah, and, like, Takeoff was so interesting because Quavo was just, like, always, you know, the cool kind of, like, swaggy guy. Offset always kind of had, like,
the elder, like, statesman.
Yeah, and I can rap, but it's on, like, some hard shit, kind of. It's not, like, the most technical. Takeoff to me was always like the technician. Migos was known for the triplet, of course, and Takeoff to me was the best, like, doing bridge. That style of the three.
I think he was a very good bridge between the two of them.
Yeah, and he was so, so necessary. And because obviously, like, when Migos first kind of popped, Offset was in jail. So it was just Quavo and Takeoff. And, like, I always, like, respect Takeoff as an MC. Like if you're, like, a technician, a rap fan of, like, that side of it, Takeoff to me was always the guy who really, really, like, showed out for Migos on that end. Yeah. Like... I think just like one Takeoff moment I gotta salute is on No Label 2 on Where Were You, which is one of my favorite Migos songs. And it's one of the first instances I remember of Takeoff like getting away from, because he was heavy on the triplets. Like he was triplet rap. Where Were You was one of the first times where almost like when we did the 2010s draft, and I talked about like Rich Homie, kind of like that just soulful singing when you're a really bad singer. And Takeoff really just did that in an amazing way on Where Were You. So yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Migos today too, thinking about Take and just how influential like he's been to my like growth as a musician.
Everything. Like yeah.
I feel that.
Lee, how about you? What have you been listening to? Big music week. One of the biggest music weeks, like.
Yeah, a lot of shit came out, man. I think obviously the Drake and 21. Yeah, a lot of shit came out that I haven't got to. The Drake and 21 got pushed back. I'm sure we'll probably do a review of that when it comes out.
That's next week, right? Friday or?
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of talked about that one for a little bit. It's kind of the end of the year, so I'm definitely going back and trying to find stuff that I might have missed out. Shout out to Wet Leg, their debut, self-titled, kind of on some like indie rock shit. Carly Rae Jepsen as well. Like, I know all of like the white girls are going crazy over Taylor Swift, but Carly kind of went crazy on it for real. So I've been playing a lot of that Carly Rae Jepsen record. I was lucky enough to go see Omar Apollo and Raven Lane. Speaking of Raven, I got to see them like a week and a half ago. So I've been playing a ton of Raven, ton of Omar. Shout out to Omar. And I'll save Raven because, yeah, I'll get to that when we do end of the year stuff. But yeah, this Carly is like legit, is really, really good.
We might do something on that soon. Who knows?
Yeah, I would love if we did because I really, really love that project. So. Yeah, man. That's pretty much it. What about you, Yarns?
I'm not listening to shit now, honestly. Like, I just have not had a music week. I guess I've been spinning just please excuse me for being antisocial a lot lately. I don't know why, but...
I mean, Roddy got some shit coming.
Yeah, you guys are ready for the comeback? I hope you guys are ready for the comeback.
I'm ready for the comeback.
Yeah, I'm excited for what everybody wants to do next, and I'm... Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a really good project. I think he's kind of been on a decent little feature run.
Back against the wall right now?
Yeah, I think he can definitely come back. And, like, I love that it's part of the Feed the Street series. Like, I love that he kind of is maybe digging back in that well. So I'm excited for that. I'm hoping for a good project there. And, yeah, Drake and 21 is heavy on my mind. Like, we'll probably talk about that more at some
point. It sounds like a big rollout because they were on the cover of Vogue. Right?
Really? I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Yeah, they got like a cover story on Vogue, so it feels like they've been preparing for this for a while. This is not like something that was out of the blue.
Yeah.
Because I mean, those like magazine interviews usually happen months ago.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they've been planning it for a while. I mean, if you think about when Jimmy Crooks came out and just like not making a video for it and then using that to make their video. So I'm excited because it sounds like they put some time into it. And honestly, Jimmy Crooks might be my least favorite song by the two of them, but the rest of them are massive, massive successes to me. Like they work together extremely well, probably better than a lot of other Drake collabs.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much about Drake and 21 because, like I said, decent chance we get to that at some point on a later date. So I think that's pretty much all we got for you. Oh. Wizkid, this is like a Lee note. Wizkid album is this week. So that's one I got to give the stamp on. I'm really, really hopeful for this Wizkid record. It's been a really dope year for Nigerian music. Like Fireboy, DML kind of broke out. Rima kind of broke out with Calm Down. Burna Boy had a record. Like we've seen a lot of dope shit coming from Nigeria. So I'm pretty excited for this Burna Boy record, or this Wizkid record. I think it can be pretty huge. So stay tuned for that. I don't know. We probably won't review it on here, but check it out because I think it's going to be a dope record. But yeah, I think that's all we got. Yeah,
a lot of shit coming out.
Yeah.
A lot of shit coming out. A lot of shit that came out. Yeah. Hopefully we get to all of it in our year-end wrap-up. We're getting to that time. I'll start like December 10th, and we probably started 2 weeks ago. You know, that's
yeah. Kinda... I mean, I got some
shit. He's got a list of 250.
Right? I will say, I'm dipping the pen this year, man. This year was too crazy. I'm actually dipping the pen.
There we go.
If you care, which you don't, but if you do, I'm dipping the pen this year. I'm gonna have a review for like, I think I decided on 25.
Hell yeah.
I'm not, yeah, I won't have it like completely, like I'll try to have it overlap with this, so like the top 5 and 10 come out around the same time. But yeah, I'm gonna be dipping the pen about a lot of these records this year, so stay tuned for that.
Love that. I'm gonna listen to the Joey Badass eventually. Might get to the Brand 5.
Yeah, that I'm telling you, that Joey, man, you're gonna have, there's some tracks on there you're gonna like.
There's another one. There's three I needed to listen to. Oh, and the JID. Those are the three that are on my list.
Yeah, I think I'm telling you that Joey should be top of list. I feel like there's gonna be some tracks on that for you.
Yeah,
but great. I think that's all we got for you, Cash. Thanks for coming through, man. We appreciate.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, sir.
It's about damn time.
Past and future guests.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming through. Youngest, thank you. Thank you for listening. Rate, review,
give us five stars.
Follow us on the Bird. I haven't tweeted in a while. I'll make sure to tweet this episode though. And yeah, have a good one. Rest in peace, Takeoff as well.
Yes, sir.
Yes.